Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Beautiful Tuesday today. Steve Jones along with Kevin. The Denver Broncos are a bad 7-0 her.
Yeah, they didn't look bad last night.
They didn't play last night.
All right, Sunday night. Sorry.
You started to get confused.
I was confused before this.
This is getting to be kind of sad.
I knew what I meant.
Who knew what you meant?
I did.
Yes, but there's an audience.
They knew what I meant, too.
Would you like to take a poll?
No, I don't need a poll. I'm good. I'm like Donald Trump. I don't need a poll. I'm still a front runner. I'm good.
And you are just that. You are a front runner in the truest sense of the word. You define front runner. Your guy bells out for the year.
Yep.
He's done. Gone. Finito. Super Bowl chances. Gone. Finito. You don't believe that, do you?
No, I have wild card hopes.
Wild card hopes?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep, I'm feeling pretty good for the wild card.
You are, huh? Yeah, sure you are. You keep hoping there.
Well, all right, you look at the teams that are available for the wild card. I mean, most of the teams that are doing well are, you know, obviously leading their division, which is fine. That leaves you a smattering of teams that the Steelers have to beat for the wild card then. And those teams, I'm feeling pretty comfortable with the chances that Pittsburgh has of getting a wild card. Because let's face it, there are 8,000 wild card opportunities in the NFL now. I mean, the Jets, 4-3? No. Steelers at 4-4? All right, then you have the Colts and the Texans at 3-5. Not one, no team from the South is coming out and winning the wild card. And then you have the Raiders at 4-3. So I like the chances of the Steelers in the wild card right now.
Jets and the Raiders are both better. Raiders will beat you this week.
I don't disagree with you about the Raiders having a shot to win that game. I don't disagree at all.
I mean, here's the problem. You have two wild card teams. The Jets and the Raiders might be better.
I don't know about the Jets. I'm not sold on the Jets.
Well, Fitzpatrick was out and Geno Smith had to play. That doesn't inspire anyone.
No. Although I did hear, I think it was Dan Patrick, that the guy who decided to decide who gave him a right cross, gave Geno Smith a right cross, should probably get player of the year for the Jets or MVP for the Jets. I thought that was pretty clever, and it may actually be true.
It's also unfortunately the state of today's sports talk.
I'm not disagreeing with you there. It wasn't the classiest of comments, but
I mean the reason that the Jets are playing the way they're playing right now is they've got an excellent defense and they have a really good running back. That's why they're where they are. Well, they're also in a division that gives you traction. You can beat the Dolphins, you can beat the Bills, you're not going to beat the Patriots, but you still do have the Patriots at least at home where you have usually played a lot better against them at.
Are the Jets better with Fitzpatrick or Carr? Because right now Fitzpatrick is day-to-day and might need thumb surgery with a ligament damage.
You're talking about Geno Smith.
Oh, I'm sorry, Geno Smith. Sorry.
And Carr's going to carve you up.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm worried about Carr, because I'm worried about the four TDs he threw this past week.
He's I told you last year. They weren't playing well last year. I told you last year I liked him.
No, I didn't disagree with you.
He's got a good look to him, and Amari Cooper is really good, and Charles Woodson is the ageless one. I mean, they're in Oakland. Nobody's paid attention to them. They're actually pretty good. Not great, but they're pretty good. Wow. Not bad at all. Let's see. The Pirates are 12-1 odds to win the World Series next year. The Phillies have been placed at 300-1.
Ooh, that's better than I thought.
That's a pretty high number.
No, I would have gone 1,000,000-1.
Well, of course, you would have. When are we booking Harvey Levin on the show? That way we can get somebody in here you can talk to.
Well, listen, it's tough to be optimistic about the Phillies. It really is.
They're not good. I got it.
I mean, somebody, I don't know where it was yesterday, but, you know, baseball season's over. That'll be depressing for some people. No, it's not. It's actually, I consider it a gift because I don't have to worry about how miserable my favorite baseball team is.
No, but, you know, most of the drivers you root for in IndyCar are miserable. So what the heck? It's kind of like adds on to everything else.
I got nothing for that. That
it's pretty good, wasn't it? Let's get to college football. We got a lot of college football stuff we got to talk about today, all right? College football playoff top four comes out tonight. They proved to us last year, at least proved to me last year as a committee, that they really just go week by week. There is no momentum week to week. Just because you won and you're in the top four doesn't mean you're in the top four next week. There are certain teams that have absolute problems going into this, and the big problem is called strength of schedule. Strength of schedule is a huge problem in this. Without question, strength of schedule is. Baylor has big problems heading into this. They're ranked, second in the polls. But then when you take a long, hard look at Baylor's schedule, it just pales by comparison. It's not even close. And they've got big problems. Now, this will sort itself out. Because let's take certain teams, for example. Among the undefeated teams, Ohio State and Michigan State, they play each other. Among the undefeated teams, TCU, I think Oklahoma State is, right? Baylor, they play each other. All right, so that sorts itself out. Stanford's a one-loss team. Notre Dame's a one-loss team. They play each other. LSU still has to play Alabama. Three of them are not Power 5 teams. Memphis, Toledo, who's the third one? That's not in the Power 5. Memphis, Toledo, and Houston. Okay? They don't figure into this at all. TCU, Oklahoma State, and Baylor all have one thing in common. Besides being in the Big 12, each one has only one win over a team over 500, and that team is Texas Tech for all three. Baylor, the winning percentage of Baylor's opponents this year, 35.2%. 35.2%. That's Bay-Leslie. They have one win over an FCS team, so that automatically is a penalty. They beat Lamar. One win over a team over 500, Texas Tech. Strength of schedule played so far, 109. Remaining strength of schedule, though, is 9. Remember, they still have Oklahoma State and TCU to play. Oklahoma State, an FCS win, Central Arkansas. Wins over 500, Central Michigan and Texas Tech. Strength of schedule remaining, 2, because they have to play Baylor and TCU. Ohio State, no games against FCS teams. 3 wins with teams that are over 500. Northern Illinois, Western Michigan, and yes, Penn State. Winning percentage of opposition so far, 58%. Again, bolstered by what Penn State's done. Winning percentage against Oklahoma State, 39%. Baylor, 35%. Overall strength of schedule remaining, 56. They still have to play Michigan State, Michigan, though, and potentially Iowa. TCU, like other teams in the Big 12, they play an FCS game. They beat Stephen F. Austin. You don't like this FCS talk, Kev, but now we're talking about this is a little different ballgame here. FBS teams with records over 500, they've beaten 1. Of course, the aforementioned Texas Tech. Strength of schedule of teams played so far, 48. Strength of schedule remaining, 22. And then there is Iowa. Iowa is undefeated. They have 1 win over an FCS team, Illinois State. They have 3 wins against teams over 500, which is the best grouping of 3 teams so far. Pitt, Wisconsin, and Northwestern. Strength of schedule played so far, 63. Strength of schedule remaining is 56. They now have a strong schedule down the stretch. So those are some of the teams right there. There is certainly some sorting out that's going to happen in all of this. And part of the sorting out is that you have teams playing each other. I mean, I know it's a little lower down the ladder, but Memphis plays Houston. Okay. Toledo doesn't have anybody like that. In fact, they play tonight. Baylor still has to play TCU, Oklahoma State, so that sorts out. Ohio State's still going to play Michigan State, Michigan. Michigan State still has to play Ohio State and Penn State. And LSU has Alabama this weekend. Stanford still has to play Notre Dame. So you still have some sorting out that can happen in all of this starting tonight. But no offense to fine FCS programs, you can't schedule them.
As much as I hate to, as much as I hate the thought of that, I agree with you. Not in the way the national championship setup is right now.
I mean, it's really great for FCS programs to play those games because the guarantee you get tremendously helps the athletic department. And also, let's face it, you've got some really good kids, really good players playing FCS football. They're going to give a lot of people a fight the way Bucknell gave Army a fight. But there's also a reality in this room of 12 people. In this room of 12 people, it does not matter how good you think Stephen F. Austin, Lamar, or Central Arkansas happen to be, or Illinois State. It's irrelevant. You are playing down one division when you play them, and it comes into play as a factor. No matter how good you think they are, even if you had North Dakota State on there, scheduling North Dakota State, for example, does not help you at all. And that's the reality here. And this, the Big 12 has got a big problem here. No championship game, so you're telling the other 4 Power 5 conferences and Conference USA, for example, right? And the Mid-American Conference, for example, you're telling all of them they have to play 13 games to get to the promised land, and you only have to play 12.
I don't understand why that's not mandated. Why is it that a conference, if they want to be included in this, doesn't have to be mandated a championship game?
They have to change the rule. The rule is you must have 12 schools in a conference to be allowed to play a championship game. Roy Kramer found the loophole. That's how they started the SEC championship game. Well, the Big 12, despite the name, has 10.
See, I just don't get that. I mean,
once they change the rule, they can do it. And they have to do it. As far as I'm concerned, you have to do it. I mean, I know it's a money grab and the whole thing. To me, it's an extra layer of playoffs. That's why I don't think you need more than four. You've got this round in December, all right, of extra games, of championship games. So I don't think you need to have 8 teams in a playoff. I think you already got it. I think you already have that layer. But you can't keep looking at the Big 12. The Big 12 does two major things wrong. They don't have a championship game, so they play one fewer game. And all three contenders play FCS teams. Really?
In this current system, Steve, is there any chance on an average year, like for this one, when you have, almost 10 teams that are still unbeaten right now, give or take?
11.
Okay, 11. Is there any chance for a Memphis or a Houston to ever see the top four?
No.
Is that right? I mean, part of the problem is the conference that they're playing in isn't the Big Ten, the Pac-12.
Yeah, for example, if you're Penn State, say you're Penn State and you go through and you're 11-1, you finish 12-1, you win the Big Ten championship, right? You're 12-1. Hey, you're going to tell me that 13-0 Memphis, what would they have done had they played Michigan State, Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa?
I totally get what you're saying.
Okay? I mean, if you're going to run that kind of gauntlet.
I totally get what you're saying. What I mean is, how do teams like this ever see an opportunity at the national championship? Because you can't move out of conferences anymore. It's really difficult to change conferences now.
No, but you're not going to change. And nobody's going to take you.
Right.
All right. Maybe Houston might be able to get to the Big 12. Maybe.
But Memphis isn't going in the SEC anytime soon.
No, they never will be. But the New Year's Six opens the door for them to have that kind of game. They may not be able to play for the national championship, but they all can get into the New Year's Six.
But isn't this the real kind of flaw in this system?
I don't see what the flaw is. The flaw, okay, if Alabama goes 12-1 and Memphis goes 13-0, Alabama would have beaten Auburn, right? LSU, Texas A&M, whomever in the East in the championship game, I'm sorry, they don't compare.
But that's where FCS and the NCAA basketball tournament have it right. You can make an argument that the NCAA basketball tournament has too many teams in it. I'm not going to debate that. What I'm saying is they actually have it right where if you win your conference or get into the tournament, you've got a shot. Here, it's based on somebody's judgment. And a computer ranking.
So is that. I mean, you have automatic bids, but
the automatic bid is what I'm talking. I'm just talking about the automatic bids. I mean, yeah, I understand there's an at-large, but
look, you can. It's different in basketball, Kevin, because there are more teams. A that play it,
right.
And B you play multiple times a week.
That's exactly. I understand that. I get that totally.
This is a once a week thing. So it's really difficult to sit there and say, hey, you know what? Let's open this up and let's put 16 teams in it. I'm sorry, but I'm against that. I am completely against that. I'm completely against the 16 teams making, let's travel all over the country and things like that. You know what I mean? At some point, these are academic institutions. I mean, you're at a time of the year, basketball, at least for most schools, usually, one round is usually during spring break. Then you do miss some time as you advance in this thing, but you don't do it during finals. Okay, in college football, you'd be doing this during finals. You can't do that. The Big Ten, for example, doesn't have a single bowl game that happens before Christmas. No bowl games take place. There isn't a bowl game that takes place while classes are going on, except for the championship game, possibly. You know, there's no bowl game right now, Kevin, that takes place when classes are in session.
I guess why is 4 the magic number would be the question I would ask you after the news. Why is 4 the magic number? Why isn't 8 better?
Because you already have the conference championship games. To me, that's the layer. It becomes too difficult week by week to travel week by week, unsure of where everybody's going to be going. I'm talking about from fans. And it's too much for the players. My goodness, everybody's beaten up now. I think they are always wanting more. Isn't always right. I've been okay with the 4. I've always advocated at least 4. I think the conference championship games are the extra layer that gets you to 8.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And here's the other reason that they are not attractive is history. History just kills them. Outside of Boise State, okay, Northern Illinois goes to the Orange Bowl, gets clobbered. UConn goes to the Fiesta Bowl, gets clobbered. Cincinnati goes to the Sugar Bowl, gets clobbered. Hawaii goes to the Sugar Bowl, gets clobbered. That's a big problem. The big problem is that as much as you want to see these teams get their chance outside of Boise State, past history shows when they get their shot, they get crushed. That's a problem.
That is very true. I will say one thing, though. The way this is set up now, I do like the one thing I like about it is it doesn't have everything's an at-large bid. It's not some are a champion, league champion, some are an at-large
right,
bid.
Yeah.
I like the fact that it's either one way or another.
I like the New Year's Six idea where, for example, a Memphis would get its opportunity, its shot to play against somebody in one of the marquee bowls.
Yeah, refresh my memory on exactly what that entails. The New Year's Six theory.
They're all going to get in. I mean, one of them is going to get in. It's simple as that. One will get in.
But you're saying in the New Year's Six theory, two of them wouldn't necessarily be in a national championship tournament, but they'd be in a New Year's Day bowl game?
Yeah, they wouldn't be in the Final Four.
Right, right.
But there are four other bowl games. There are four other New Year's Day bowl games, Rose, Sugar.
Right.
I think this year, is it what, the Orange and the Fiesta Bowl this year? The next year is the Cotton and the Peach. So the Cotton, the Peach, the Rose, and the Sugar, they'd get into one of those games.
Let's see. The New Year's Day bowl games this year. Let's see. That would be...
Here we are.
Outback, the Citrus Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, but they would not qualify for the Outback or the Citrus.
Then on January 2nd, the Tax Slayer Bowl, the Liberty Bowl, the Alamo Bowl, and the Cactus Bowl.
No, yeah, but the New Year's Six games are not those games.
Okay, so
the Cotton Bowl, the Peach Bowl.
Okay.
Okay, the Sugar and the Rose.
Sugar and the Rose.
Because I think I think this year it is the, what, the... It is. I think it's the Orange and the Fiesta that get the two games, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
Because they're both... Are they... Orange is on New Year's Eve. That's the New Year's and Cotton. Yes. The Orange Bowl and the Cotton Bowl are the two bowls this year.
So it's a Fiesta and Peach next year.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's the Orange and the Cotton that are on New Year's Eve along with the Peach Bowl. And then, as you mentioned, Rose, Fiesta, and Sugar on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. The Fiesta, Rose, and the Sugar Bowl are exactly this year the way I remember them being growing up. Fiesta was first, Rose was next, and the Sugar Bowl was last. Hadn't been that way for many, many years.
Well, this year it's New Year's Eve, and this is a problem. They're trying to sell this New Year's Eve thing, and it's going to be interesting to see whether people watch. I mean, I'll watch. I mean, I don't go out on New Year's Eve anyway, or else I might be...
You're in commute.
Usually I've been on... Usually, well, no, but I mean, say for example, Penn State got to the Outback Bowl, which is not at the moment out of the realm of possibility.
That would be true.
All right, say that happens. Say that's the scenario. I'd have a basketball game on the 30th at Maryland. I probably would fly from BWI down to Tampa and get there probably in the morning. Take care of whatever business I have to take care of. Watch the games in the hotel. Go do my game. At what, 1 in the afternoon, get on a plane, fly to Detroit, do a basketball game in the second.
The only problem with the way the setup is on January 1st with the Fiesta, Rose, and the Sugar is the Fiesta Bowl, it starts at 1 o'clock, which actually means what, it's, what is it, 11 at University of Phoenix Stadium?
That time of the year, they're on Mountain Time, yes.
It's brunch with the Fiesta Bowl. Tostitos brunch.
Happy New Year.
Here's the other thing. You had mentioned FCS, and I really, the one thing I do like about the way the FBS does it is they're all either at-large bids. They're all at-large bids. It's not half at-large, half championships. The FCS should just be league champions. I think the FCS tournament has become a little bit long now. And I know they're trying to stretch it out so that that championship game gets played right around the same time as the FBS championship game. But, wow, is there a lot of teams in the FCS tournament now with those at-large bids?
Well, it's been my major concern about the high school playoffs.
No, you're right, and you're exactly right.
I mean, you play in the sixth. If you play in the championship game in Hershey, you end up playing six playoff games in some cases, and you had a 10-game regular season. Oh, really? Okay. All right. I got it. I see where you're going. All right. We will curtail this for. Yeah, you did send a memo. Let's see. Kaepernick gets benched. Well, so what? Not playing well.
Well, my follow the question after that.
Is there a want or a need for mobile quarterback in the NFL? Nats hire Baker. Is that a good fit? Yes. And the Titans fire Ken Wisenhunt and Mike Mularkey takes over. All the former Steeler coaches are doing something. All right. Okay, that's the Kevin Herr memo of the day. Did I go through it too fast?
That would be the MOD. That's the acronym for it now. Memo of Day.
I have another nickname for it, but that's okay.
I'm sure you do, but the FCC won't let us use that on the air.
It was clean. Let's bring Adam Bittner from the Post-Gazette to join us for a moment. Then we'll get back to Kevin fighting for the little guy. Okay, who's Memphis's? Who is Houston's coach? Do you know?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. But what did you say?
Who is Houston's coach? Someone knows, since you're fighting so hard for these people, do you know his coach?
Who cares? I'm fighting for the player, not the unnamed player, not the coach.
Who's the quarterback then?
I said the unnamed player because I don't know. I don't care who it is. It's not a point of who they are. It's a point of the fact that they get a shot.
These are people you're fighting for. Don't you think you should know them?
It's not like we need to be on a first name basis or anything. I'm not their champion.
In some ways, you are.
Oh, come on. He's been waiting on hold long enough. Put him on.
Adam, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve.
Were you at the game on Saturday?
I was.
And your thoughts on it?
I think it was interesting to see how, for me at least, it was interesting to see how the Maryland game seemed to carry over into the Illinois game. You know, you saw Penn State making some big plays in that Maryland game, even though it was a tight game against a team that's probably not that great. You know, you finally saw Penn State consistently making plays and making things happen. And the Illinois game just seemed like it was a continuation of being able to make those big plays, but cleaning up those mistakes that had dogged them in the Maryland game and turning that into one of the most complete performances of the season.
What are you seeing from Christian Hackenberg now?
You know, I think a lot of it is the team around him is maturing, and I think it's making him a little more comfortable, you know, working with the guys he has. You know, he's obviously one of the team leaders, and at times it seems like he's been apprehensive, you know, more with what's happening around him than what he could do if he had a little more consistency around him. And as those guys are becoming more consistent, you know, I think he's finding more room to make plays himself and, you know, becoming the quarterback that people hoped that they would see, you know, after his freshman year when he was worked really well under Bill O'Brien.
And Saquon Barkley, another hurdle, another touchdown. What makes him a special back to you?
You know, it's all those things. It's the athleticism, it's the vision, it's the way he just seems to get north and south in a hurry. You know, I think I tend to be kind of an agnostic when it comes to running backs, in that I think a large percentage of them are largely interchangeable depending upon who's blocking for them. But I think there is that upper 10% of guys that just have it. You know, they can see they have all of the things that running backs need to be great, because you can find a lot of running backs that have good vision. You can find running backs that have speed. You know, you can find, you know, running backs who are powerful and can run people over. I think he's all of those things, and I think that's why you kind of see him as a dynamic runner and one of the best backs Penn State's had in a long time.
All right, let's flip it over to the defense. They end up pitching a shutout in this game. Styles mean something. How important was it that Penn State faced that style?
I think it was important, but I also think that, you know, like I was saying before, that they cleaned up the things that they weren't doing well against Maryland. You know, they weren't missing tackles, and they weren't, you know, missing plays that they normally make against other teams, and you know, certainly Illinois style played into it, but I think there was also just the cleaning up and the making a more complete effort than they had against Maryland. And you know, you saw the good things at the end of the Maryland game, forcing turnovers and you know, making big plays at the end, but the reason that they had to make those plays in the first place was because they didn't clean up everything early on, and I think that all came together on Saturday.
All right, the kicking part of it. Tyler Davis is an interesting story. He played soccer at Bradley, never played football, then he came here. Now he's kicking in games. As a writer, how much do you love those kind of stories?
Oh, those are great stories. And you know, it kind of reminds me of in high school. I went to Bethel Park High School in south of Pittsburgh, and one of my buddies, we went to St. Valentine's School together. He'd only played soccer. He'd never played football. And senior year, they asked him to be the kicker on the football team. And he ended up being a great kicker and kicked them all the way to the state championship game. It's the only time Bethel Park has even won the Whippeal, let alone got to the state title game. It's those types of kind of fairy tale and improbable things that are great material to write about, when you get the chance.
All right, now moving forward, Northwestern is going to be next in this. 2 weeks to prepare. Your thoughts on the matchup?
I think they're an interesting team. They've had some ups and downs. They always seem to have ups and downs over there. Sometimes you can get a Northwestern team that has that game that shocks everyone. I think Stanford was that game earlier this year where no one really expected them to compete, and they come out with a win, a defensively solid win. And they seem to have those types of wins every year. I think the Penn State win last year kind of caught people by surprise at Beaver Stadium. I'm not sure people were surprised that they won as much as they were surprised how they won.
Right.
So I think a lot of it depends upon how Northwestern comes out and what kind of opponent they're going to be. If they pitch one of those great games and they lock down on Penn State defensively, it could be a real dogfight. But we've also seen Northwestern, shrink in some big situations. So it'll be interesting to see.
No Le'Veon Bell. What does this do for the psyche of the Steelers?
I think it's pretty bad. I was talking to our sports editor, Jerry Miko, yesterday. He was at the game on Sunday, and he said the whole stadium just kind of became lifeless after that. You felt it in the press box. You felt it in the down on the field. You felt it in the stands. He's a huge part of this offense. And kind of going back to what I said about Saquon Barkley, he's also in that upper echelon of guys that has all of those things. And he also has the added dimension of being a threat in the passing game, something that I'm not sure what D'Angelo Williams can do in replacing him. That's something that we'll have to see. Can he be that guy that safety valve for Ben Roethlisberger, who can make plays happen, where maybe they aren't happening downfield. He can get a few yards, on a screen pass or something like that. So I think, his loss is tough for the running game, but it also limits what they can do in the passing game, and it's going to be interesting to see how they deal with that.
In fact, it's a little bit more than that because, as Jack Cam tells me all the time, Bell runs routes. He's probably the second-best route runner behind Antonio Brown on that offense. And that's something, you can swing a ball out to Williams in the flat. Bell runs routes. That's a big loss in the pass game.
Yes, it is. It's taking an element away from the offense because they're the big strength that the Steelers have had, or at least have had in theory and on paper, they haven't been able to get people healthy or back from suspensions in time to have all of those weapons on the field at the same time very much. The idea was, you have to defend the deep passes with Martavis Bryant and speed. Antonio Brown can run any route. And Le'Veon Bell can do all of those things in the run and the pass game, and that's tough for defenses to guard against. So when you take one of those things away, it puts more pressure on those other guys who are still in there.
All right, they're 4-4 right now. The division thing is, I think, going into the second half of the year, too many things for Cincinnati would have to go wrong. Now, let's start with that. But what about now just getting into the tournament? What are some things they need to do to get into the tournament? And the addendum to that is, how did you think Roethlisberger looks Sunday?
I think, he looked rusty. He didn't make throws that we're used to seeing him make. And I think moving forward, it's going to be a matter of, figuring out where D'Angelo Williams fits in this offense and figuring out ways that he can complement those other players like Bell did. Obviously, he probably can't do it to the same degree, but it's the coach's job to find ways to fit a player into the offense, and I think that's why they went out and got him. Obviously, Bell was suspended early in the year, so they knew that they were going to need a running back for at least the first two games, and they had an eye toward that, and I think he's he's a serviceable backup. So I think it's going to be really a matter of how can they make Williams work in this offense.
Yeah, well, you're exactly right. That's why they got him. I mean, they got him to fill the first two games, and it's just in case, and now just in case has come up. Thanks so much, Adam. Appreciate the time, as always.
Absolutely, Steve. Have a great one.
Head to the top of the hour. And in the next hour, Kevin will tell us who the head coaches are at Memphis and at Houston. Since he's fighting for them, we figure maybe, you know, he could enlighten us as to what makes them so good.
Because they're in Memphis.
Well, Houston's not.
No, they're in Houston. That's what makes them so good.
Wow.
I should play Walking in Memphis now.
I think you should probably get an analytics website instead of, like, playing songs.
Oh, there's a song. That's a song that I love to hear.
Imagine how I feel.
It's 4 o'clock. RG3 still a Redskin.
For how long?
It's 4 o'clock.
Maybe we just haven't heard it yet.
Considering there was no interest.